Father, may every person tonight that is under the sound of my voice, I pray this night, may the anointing be tangible upon their lives. May it rest and abide upon them. May the anointing, may the prophetic come upon their lives. May their eyes be opened. May every hindrance and every limitation be removed from them in every area of their lives. I pray right now for every heart to be opened, every spirit to be, to every person's spirit to be opened, to be receptive, for revelation to begin to give birth, for movement in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Say this with me. Say the spirit of almost. I know it sounds a little bit strange, but listen to me. Let me just get into this. Put for me Deuteronomy chapter number 34, verse 1 on. Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. Yes. And like I said, tonight it's short. I want to get one thing through, but I know you're going to catch it. And you know, what believers, the one thing that we battle with church is that many times we think that we must come into the building here to receive, to listen, and to hear. Very few come in to encounter God, number one. Very few come in to know that, but wait, I can receive impartation and I can go do the same or even more. Which means, the Bible says in Mark chapter number 16, verse 18, I think it says, you shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say you shall ask God to heal the sick. Not one prayer in the New Testament do they ask for the sick to be healed. Jesus always commanded the sick to be healed. It's the prayer command. Are you guys with me? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Which means that if I lay hands on the sick, the Bible says they shall recover. Does it say I will make them recover? So then my responsibility, my only responsibility is to lay hands. Then they will recover. Are you guys with me? Put on Mark chapter number 16, verse 18. Let's just check it out. Put Mark 16, verse 18. I think it is there. Or we'll read from there. Quickly. One verse previous. And these signs will follow those who believe. Say with you, believe. That's a believer, right? So if these signs follow you, you are a believer. If it doesn't follow you, okay. So these are the signs that says if you are a believer or not. A sign points to Jesus Christ. In my name, they will cast out demons. Number one, they will speak with new tongues. If you don't speak with tongues, I don't know. The Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Next verse. They will take up serpents, which means they will get into a deadly situation and nothing will happen to them. If they drink anything deadly, if you are in a deadly situation, nothing can touch you if you are a believer. When we have this mindset to say, but wait, I have the Spirit of God in me. I have the image and the likeness of God. He made me in His image and His likeness to function like Him, to look like Him where I'm going. What danger can touch me? Drink anything, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And what does it say? Does it say God will heal them? And they will recover. It's not your job. It's the people that's being laid hands on to stand up or move and begin to believe. Listen. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean attacks won't come. The weapon is still formed, but it will not prosper. The weapon speaks of poverty. It speaks of curses, addictions, anything that tries to pull you away from God. The weapon is formed, but it shall not prosper. Which means, listen, when I read my Bible, every verse I read speaks of victory, victoriously. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter. Listen, God will go so far as to kill somebody. I know it doesn't, I'll show you now. That hinders his move. Who was it? Let me say. Okay, let's go through scripture. Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira was hindering the move because they were lying. They said, listen here, we're going to give you 2 million rand. We just sold our property. And everything we're giving is, we're giving 2 million. But they had more, so the budget was wrong. So they were hindering the move there. They dropped down dead. Herod was hindering the move when he put Peter in jail. Are you guys with me? He put Paul in jail. He killed John the Baptist. And the Bible says that if an angel came and struck him and he fell down backwards, broke his neck, I believe that's what happened, and worms came and eat him up. Any person that hinders a genuine move of God, God will go any extent to remove them. I can tell you that. I know scripture. Are you guys with me? I'm not saying we must go kill our enemies, but there's some dangerous prayers in the Bible. David says, let my enemies, let their children be cursed. Where is that? Let me just read to you the Bible I like. Where is it? Psalm 109. Okay. Because some people doubt me. And this is the guy that was the apple of God's eye. Is it 109? Yeah. Yeah. Listen to this. Let me just read to you. Go put on the screen. Go from verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise. Follow me. For the mouth of the wicked and of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they have become my accusers. Meaning, I have just loved them. We've had it with the ministry. We have just loved people and they've become our accusers. But I give myself to prayer, which means that I become prayer. Thus, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Now, listen, now David starts praying. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty. Meaning, send this guy to hell, okay? And let his prayer become sin. This is David. I know you guys don't like it. His kingdom shall reign forever. This is David, the apple of God's eye. Though he killed a man, he slept with his friend's wife, killed his friend, lied to his friend, killed other people, but there was something that God liked in this man, that he would say that with him I will establish my covenant, which tells me that God does not measure you by sin, because Saul had less sin than David and the kingdom was removed from Saul. The only thing that Saul did is he feared the people, he pleased the people, and he was a little bit delayed disobedience with some things. That's it, and the kingdom was removed from him. King David commits adultery, make a woman pregnant, kill her husband who is his friend, lie for it about a year, kill other people, don't go out into the army, and yet God still says, this is a man after my own heart. Apple of my eye. It should give some of you hope. So he says, listen to this. And let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, which means kill him. And let another take his place, take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow, meaning kill this guy. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor come and seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder into his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to this guy. Let mercy not be with him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off in the generation following their name to be blotted. And I'm not saying that we must hate people. All I'm saying is, if you know how loved you are by God, and somebody touches you, somebody speaks against you, lies about you, but you know that I am loved. Are you guys with me? It's like you are a father to your children. to what extent will you not go for them? How much more our Heavenly Father? Are you guys with me? I don't know. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34 verse 1. Say with me, the spirit of almost. This is a thing that I've seen that causes Christians to give up. It's like just before they reach something, just before they reach their breakthrough, just before their business is just about to take off, something happens. Listen, Deuteronomy 34 verse 1. It says, then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah. Say with me, Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as for Dan. Just stop there. The word Pisgah was a mountain. It was a mountain that Moses was on. But this mountain represents, how can I say it? It represents a mountain of almost. You'll see now when I explain. It was on this mountain that Balak did sacrificial offerings against the children of God. It's on this mountain. Let's go on. Let me show you. Go on. Next verse. And Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea. Next verse. The south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land. So God is saying to Moses, Moses, this is the land of which I swore to give Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. Now listen to what God is saying. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over into it. This mountain was the mountain that limited Moses from entering into the promised land. It's called Pisgah. Are you guys with me? It allowed him to see the promise of God, but not enter into it. It's like you seeing a contract lying on your desk for a business, or you seeing your ministry just about to take off, or you seeing things just about to take place. You can see it, but it's like taken away from you, or just before it happens, something is cut short. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but this thing must be removed and must be corrected. Moses, listen. This mountain, I call it the spirit of almost. We know that Moses got angry and he did some things out of the flesh with a rock. And there it was there that God said to him, listen, because of this, you shall not enter into the promised land. But there a spirit entered that limited him on this mountain. It was on this mountain that God said, look, it's like dangling. It's like saying to somebody, look, here's a house. Yes, keys, this is actually your house, a new house, but you cannot have it and you walk away. Or you say to somebody, I've bought you a new car, your child, I've bought you a new car, you show them the car, and you take the keys and they're not allowed. Moses was able to see it. God even said to him, I will allow you to see it. I have caused you to see it with your eyes. Let me just see what it says in the Amplified. Same thing. He says, I have caused you to see it. Many believers, they have seen their destiny. They have known their future. But it feels like just before you getting there, you are tripping up. Okay, go with me to, listen. Apart from that, this is the mountain that Moses has died. Go on, let's go to the next verse. It says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. It was on Pisgah, according to the word of the Lord. Next verse. And everybody say with me, he. That's a capital H. So that is God buried him. Are you guys with me? God buried Moses in the land of Moab, opposite of Beer, but no one knows his grave to this day. God buried Moses, meaning God was the choir, God was the preacher, God was the usher. He did the whole funeral, said God buried Moses right there. Pisgah, which I call the spirit of almost, will cause you to see your destiny, but not enter into it. Pisgah is a destiny killer. It'll cause you to stay on that mountain and die. This was the same mountain. Now let me just say something. This was the same mountain that when Jesus saw Moses and Elijah on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, And Moses appeared to him there. Okay, you're silent. That, we'll leave that one for later, okay? Let's go to John 5, verse 6. Put on John 5, verse 6. Say with me, the spirit of almost. Say with me, Pisgah. It is this thing that will cause you, just when you are about to receive breakthrough, just when you are about to get that miracle, every time when you feel, my finances, I am just in the surplus, something happens. It's the spirit that causes many Christians to be limited. Listen, if Moses, who was one of the greatest prophets, the Bible says God spoke to him face to face. He says, I speak to no other person like this. All the other prophets, I speak to them in a dream. I reveal myself to them in a dream or a vision. So God said to Moses, he says, to Moses, I speak face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. Do you not fear him? Because to all the other prophets who I reveal myself in a dream or in a vision. So the way God reveals himself to prophets, and if they are prophets, is in a dream or a vision. Are you guys with me? If Moses, that would speak to God face to face, that was so close to him that 80 days you would be on the mountain in the glory of God, not eating, neither drinking, seeing the finger of God writing the Ten Commandments, walking out of the glory cloud, seeing millions of Israelites running away with fear as lightning were coming out of his face. This Moses, if Pisgah and the spirit of almost could kill him, are you guys with me? That even him, he could see his promise and his future, but he is not allowed to enter into it. How much us? If this is a man who spoke to God face to face. Listen, John 5 verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there. Now, where am I now? Go one verse back. Dun. Now, yes. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. This is by the pool of Bethesda. Are you guys with me? So, 38 years. This is not 1 year or 2 years. This is not a problem for a few months. This guy had 38 years he was lying there and he had this problem. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Next verse. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, this is him knowing it prophetically, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Next verse. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up by an angel. What would happen at the pool of Bethesda is an angel will come down and stir the pool. And the first person that gets in after the pool is being stirred, that person would get healed. Are you guys with me? Talk about occultic stuff. This is in the Bible. And Jesus even, you know, was okay with this. Listen, so, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. What happens is, many believers, all they do, they depend on somebody else to carry them. Listen, when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming there, which is a very strange thing because this man was sick, but yet he said he was walking. He says, as I'm walking towards the pool, I am almost there. Another one steps in before me. Go to the next verse. Okay, go back one verse. Go back one verse. He said, listen. He said, sir, as I'm about to stand up and I, just before I get my miracle, somebody else comes in before me and takes it. This is a spirit that comes to believers that just before they get their breakthrough, it's like somebody else comes in and takes it. Just before they get a promotion, it's like all of a sudden they chose somebody else to be promoted. It's the spirit of almost. I don't say all, I don't get into weird names. We're just calling it that because it's like you are almost getting into your future, but not yet. Are you guys with me? You are almost getting healing, but not yet. It's just before your finances just becomes right, something comes and takes it away. This is the spirit of Pisgah. The mountain of Pisgah, the spirit of almost. And I pray that tonight, this thing will be removed from your life. I don't care in what area it is. But just before you step into that pool, it's like somebody else comes in before you and takes it. And this is an error that needs to be corrected. Listen, listen, have your seats, have your seats. If you look at Isaac, and he had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And the Bible says if you study Esau's life, Esau was a good guy. Jacob was a bad person, even that his name was meaning deceiver. Are you guys with me? His name was meaning supplanter, deceiver. He was the guy that you would never trust if you were around him. That's what his name. So whenever somebody called him Jacob, they would call the meaning deceiver and supplanter. He does everything wrong. His brother almost does everything right. And then Jacob still finds a way to steal the blessing. But I want you to take it from a different perspective. The Bible says this. I'm not going to go there to the verse now, but it says this. That Jacob's mom said to him, listen, let's cook up a meal for your father. Let's make him think it's that you're Esau so that he can give the blessing to you. Which tells me that a man has the ability to release a blessing or not. So, and when his father thought that it was Esau and Isaac released the blessing to him, and you know I've preached on this, and the Bible says something powerful. It says, Jacob, as he walked out, Esau walked in. As he walked out, Esau walked in, which means, and then Esau said, my father, but don't you have another blessing to give? And Isaac said, I only have one blessing to give, which means that Isaac have lost the supernatural coming from Abram. If you study Abram, Isaac, Jacob, each have less of the supernatural, the power importation to give. So they've lost it, when in fact it should get stronger. So it says that as Jacob walked out, Esau walked in. Esau missed. He's, in fact, then, so Isaac blesses Jacob and says, your fruits will be blessed. Your descendants will be blessed. You will be rich. All these things. And then Esau, whom he now doesn't have a blessing to give, which confuses me because now Jacob curses him. I don't understand this. Where's that verse? Let's go to that verse. Let me read this to you. Does anybody know where that is? Genesis. Just check where it is for me. Sorry, I have another Bible here. I'll find it now. Here it is. Listen. Let me just read this to you. Okay. So let me just read. You don't have to put it on the screen. Let me just read it to you. Genesis 20. It says verse 27, verse 20. He says, but Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly? He's speaking to Jacob now, thinking he's speaking to Esau. And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. He's lying, this guy. Listen to this. Have you ever read your Bible? Jacob is saying, he's lying. And his father is saying, how did you get the meal so quickly? No, God gave it to me. And yet he was blessed. Read your Bibles. Are you guys with me? Listen. Because the Lord your God brought it to me. This man was evil. That's why God had to change him from Jacob to Israel. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. The reason Isaac made a mistake. Now we know Jacob was chosen, but I'm speaking from a different perspective here. The reason Isaac missed it was because he was going by feelings and not spiritual perception, sight, or hearing. Are you guys with me? He said, I hear you sound like this one, but you feel like this one. Too many Christians go by feelings and emotions. Listen. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me and I'll eat my son's game meat so that my soul may bless you. So he first wanted to have, you know, there's a reason how importation takes place. So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing and he blessed him. And he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. And I, you know, we preach on the smell of God. Do you carry the smell of a son? And then he goes on, he says, therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brethren, and let the mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Listen to this. Verse 30, now it says, now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely, are you guys with me? Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father. He was just about to go out. It says that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had many made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. And you know how I told you, you can steal a blessing. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me those times. And he goes on. And then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master. So he says, now, because of that blessing, I have made him your master now. And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. All you or his brothers and so on will serve him. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing to give? Which means that Isaac only had one blessing to give. The sad thing of many in the body of Christ, you know, there's an epidemic in many of the big churches around the world, and this is proven in the things that people discuss now, that many of them don't have any sons that they can impart to. Or they've received one blessing from their father who built the mega church, but they have nobody to give it over to. If you don't have sons or daughters, you will just have an institution. Are you guys with me? A mantle, an institution cannot pass a mantle. Only a kingdom can pass a mantle, a father. There's no importation. Many churches are institutions. There's no importation. My biggest prayer is that those who I raise up or those around me will be bigger and greater than what I've ever been. I promise you. Because there's a thing called double anointing, a double importation, double portion. Listen, it goes on. He says, do you only have one blessing, O my father? And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when it becomes restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. He even says your brother is even going to put you in bondage. I don't understand this. The man could have just blessed him. You understand what I'm saying? But Esau missed his blessing by a few seconds. The spirit of almost. Say with me, the spirit of almost. Listen, go for me to John 5, back to John 5, verse 6. Let's see, next verse. The sick man said to him, just before I can get there, somebody has come in before me and taken it. Next verse. Jesus said to him, everybody say with me, say rise. Take up your bed and walk. Let me just read it out the put on the amplified version. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your bed, your sleeping pad, and walk. Meaning, sleeping, if you study all over scripture, means prayerlessness. Are you guys with me? It means, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 53, it says, you are like sleeping dogs who cannot bark. A sleeping dog speaks of somebody that doesn't have a discernment. A dog, when a dog is awake, he has discernment with his nose. A dog represents discernment many times in scripture in a positive way. And he says, but you are like sleeping dogs. And then he goes on, I think it is in, go for me to, let me just read this verse. And I want to leave this with you and then I want to pray for you. But say with me, get up. Say with me, rise. There's a sleeping bed upon every single person. Go with me to Isaiah 52 verse 1. Isaiah 52 verse 1. Let me read to you Isaiah 52 verse 1. Let me read to you what prayer does. So Jesus is saying, he says, listen here. You let everybody get in before you, just before you get your breakthrough. But I say, rise, get up, put away your sleeping bed and begin to walk. Which means put away prayerlessness. Put away the thing that causes you not to have discernment. The reason the spirit of almost comes in is because the Bible says, watch and pray. Because the flesh is willing and weak and the spirit is strong. But it speaks of temptation in that scripture. And it says that when temptation comes, but when you watch and pray, you can see temptation come. And when you're prayerful, you just step left and you miss it. Are you guys with me? The flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Meaning that if you don't pray, temptation comes and it can hit you. But a person that has prayer upon their lives, they are baptized with prayer. That's why we say, come join us on Saturday morning. Come join us once a month. Before the services, we pray. I pray before I minister. I pray every week. I have a relationship with God. I have just found out that when prayer is present, how can I say it like this? When people come and minister here, with me you are familiar, but when people come and minister here, they are shocked by the atmosphere that is open here. Why? Prayer. Say the prayer. You know, many people who gossip, they don't pray. We pray, we don't gossip. Prayer, King David said in that Psalm, Psalm 109, he says, even though for return of my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Can there be anybody that can say, I'm giving myself to prayer. I'm going to be in the secret closet and I'm going to pray, whether it is for my enemies, whether it is for, but I'm going to become. The Bible actually says, when David says, I give myself to prayer, it means I have become prayer. I have become so baptized and saturated that when people look at me, they see prayer. When they think of me, they think prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Listen, Isaiah 52 verse 1. Let me just read this to you. Awake, awake, which means that wake up, take up your sleeping bed, begin to pray. And then the Bible says, put on your strength, which means that prayer will give you strength. So with your strength, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, which means that when you pray, you'll be clothed with beauty. You might not look so beautiful on the outside, but when you pray, you'll look beautiful. Are you guys with me? The anointing makes you attractive. It clothes you in beautiful garments. Are you guys with me? Listen. He says, shake yourself from the dust. Which means that when you pray, begin to shake that which is fleshly to fall off from you. Dust speaks of flesh. Flesh attracts Satan. Listen, when a snake, when God said, I will curse you, to the serpent, to Satan, that you will be on your belly. When a snake goes and you see a tongue coming out of a snake, what a snake does is, it's touching and reaching out to the dust particles. If there's a lot of dust particles, it knows an enemy is near. And when there's not, when it's settled, it knows it's safe. Are you guys with me? When Satan comes, he tastes and see who has a lot of flesh around them or not. So prayer shakes off the dust, the flesh around you. Okay? Listen, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loosen yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. When you pray, the bondage is broken. Deliverance comes. I can hear, listen, give me 1 minute or 2 minutes with somebody that preaches in a pulpit, I'll tell you if they pray or not. You can hear by the authority in their voice. I've heard people preach, it sounds like Mickey Mouse. You're thinking, how long is this thing still going to be? It's not saturated in prayer. The devil is afraid of somebody that sacrifices their time in prayer. Why? The devil is afraid of the blood. When a preacher, when a minister, when a believer live a life of sacrifice, blood comes, which means that they sacrificing themselves in the spirit. When the devil sees, he sees blood. But then you get ministers who they sacrifice nothing. Devil is not afraid of them. And then he goes on, he says, for thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, but you shall be redeemed with money, which means that your value is going to begin to rise. Are you guys with me? And then, for thus says the Lord God, my people went down first into Egypt to dwell there. Then Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Which means deliverance is going to take place. Go to Isaiah 56 verse 9. Go through to verse 9. Listen to this. Quickly, guys. All you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. Next verse. His watchmen, say with me, are blind. Watchmen of prayer, people. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Dumb dogs meaning unable to speak, unable to bark. No discernment. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down. Say with me, loving to slumber. Which means it says that when you fail to pray, you begin to lose spiritual perception. You're like a dumb dog, unable to bark. A dog smells with his nose and discerns. You have no more discernment. But when you pray, you begin to get spiritual perception. You get discernment back. You have the ability to shake the dust off you. Are you guys with me? And listen, I'm going to leave it at that. Go back for me to go for to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 verse 5. Lavrostorum. 2 Chronicles 26. Listen to this. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, say that we say, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. For anybody against prosperity message, okay? Which means seeking, no, go back, verse 5. Change for me, let's just see, I haven't prepared this. Just go to, put in the message version. Let me just see what the message version says. Let me just see. He says he was a loyal seeker of God. He was well trained by his pastor and teacher, Zechariah, to live in reverent obedience before God. And for as long as Zechariah lived, Isaiah lived a godly life and God prospered him. Go for me to NIV. Let me see what the NIV says. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Say with me, success. The key is to stay in prayer, seeking the face of God. Where the Bible says, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. Which means where the Spirit of God is Lord in this place, there is freedom. I am not the senior pastor, the Holy Ghost is. Which means that I submit to Him. If he wants to do deliverance, he can do deliverance. If he wants to heal somebody, he can heal. If he wants to rebuke a religious person sitting in this place, they can be rebuked. But as long as it is spirit-led, are you guys with me? Stand to your feet, wherever you are. Stand to your feet. Say with me the spirit of almost. I rebuke that spirit tonight. I break its power. Every pisca moment that you've had, any pisca moment today in your business, in your family, in your spiritual life, every spirit of almost, may it be removed. May this thing be corrected tonight, that you will not be somebody who sees your destiny but cannot enter into it. May you lift up your eyes tonight, and as far as you can see, may it be given to you. Holy Ghost, may your anointing fall in this place right now. May your power come upon your people. I command every spirit of sickness, every spirit of almost, of Pisgah, which even removed Moses and cut his destiny short. May the spirit be lifted from ECC. May the spirit be lifted from any person under the sound of my voice. May from tonight be breakthrough in their business, finances, spiritual life, any area.